You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what else is new? Robinson Cano's a moron. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. There's time to talk about that later on. There's plenty of it. What are any of us really going to say? He's a moron. There, we've said it. Good enough. You can move on and you can start to talk about what some of the other moves will be that will now be part of the fallout of Robinson Cano missing all of 2021. We'll get to that in just a little while. We will get to what happened with the Giants today firing their offensive line coach, but let us start and lay out for you how the evening is going to go with the NBA draft and with the Knicks. So here's the deal. First of all, for our coverage, we're going right now from until 7:30 when ESPN Radio's coverage of the draft begins. And then we will take that right up to whenever the Knicks pick. And when I say whenever, right now it's at number 8. But there were strong indications today with that move earlier of moving up to number 23 and trading 27 and 38 to get the 23rd pick, that they are trying very hard to get into the top 5. Now, they had called the Cavaliers about the 5th pick and were offering 8 and 23, but the Cavaliers apparently wanted more than that. But just sit and wait on this. And there was also the thought that maybe they were trying to trade up to number 2 overall. But now, with the latest news regarding Klay Thompson, and if you're just joining us, this has come out within the last 30 minutes or so. Klay Thompson, in a workout in Southern California, injured his leg. Now, according to Monty Poole, who covers the Warriors for NBC Sports Bay Area, a couple of people who saw the injury said it looked ugly, but the Warriors were still holding out hopes. They tweeted out about it just a little while ago, and he's going to go undergo testing. This was apparently lower leg, and of course, he missed all of this past season with the torn ACL in the left knee. Now, why do I mention all of that? Because there had been the thought that maybe the Knicks were even trying to get up to the 2nd overall pick if they wanted to go get LaMelo Ball. It sounds like Anthony Edwards is going to be the 1st pick. Here's what I want to see tonight. If the Knicks walk out of tonight at the 8th overall pick or higher, and they end up with a player like Obi Toppin from Dayton, or they end up with, let's say they end up with LaMelo Ball, if somehow they were able to trade up to number 2, or they ended up with a player that would be a good defensive player on the perimeter, a guy that would be a real building block type piece, a 3-and-D type player, and Isaac Okoro, who I saw a little bit at Auburn this year. And that would be in a case if they just stayed put at the 8th pick. Then in my mind, they would have done a pretty good job. I'm not saying that they didn't if they do something else, because the draft is always a crapshoot, right? I'll tell you what I'm not excited about. I would not be excited if the Knicks were going to go out of their way to give up an awful lot to move up to that 2nd spot. Now, one of the things I heard Allen talking about earlier today, which was interesting, and personally I would not do, was to bring back Andrew Wiggins from the Warriors and take on his contract in addition to giving up, you know, the 8th and the 23rd pick, and potentially, this is what I did not really like, Mitchell Robinson. Now, his point earlier today was a fair one. Is the timeline of Mitchell Robinson helping a team and being a great player and being able to defend out west, is his timeline being able to do that right now, does that align with what the Knicks are trying to do and when they're trying to do it with their timeline? Because it's obviously much further down the road. Here's why I don't do it. I don't want to trade away talent right now if I'm the Knicks, okay? If I'm trading away picks to move up, great. If I'm trading away picks to move up and taking on a contract, that isn't a disaster. I mean, Wiggins is not a great one. But if it meant for me to move up from 8 to 2, and I loved LaMelo Ball, then I would absolutely do it. But if it meant trading away assets in terms of talent right now, and to me, that means two players. That means Mitchell Robinson, and that means R.J. Barrett. And I'm not even calling R.J. Barrett untouchable at this point. But what I would say is this. You can't afford to trade away the couple of young pieces that you believe in right now. And Robinson is one of those young pieces. Why would I trade him away just because the timeline may not work? It's not the NFL with paying a rookie quarterback. It's not like that. It's not resetting the clock. The Knicks should not be resetting the clock, okay? It's not that the time to win is now, but the time to truly progress is now. So if you're going to trade away talent, take on a contract, and trade away picks to get LaMelo Ball, he better be Damian Lillard. He better be the next great, great player in the league. And I would not do that. I think that's all too much. And with Robinson, all right, I'm going to have to pay him in a year or two. But I'll deal with that then. I'll pay him because he's a guy I want to keep. And if I have spent all this time developing him, what's the point in me trading him away right now? It's kind of how I feel with the Nets at the moment. I don't want the Nets to trade away all of this great, somewhat ancillary talent that they have developed to go and get James Harden, who I don't think they need right now. And I know that's crazy to some people, but James Harden, along with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, somebody's going to have to want to make that work. Do they all want to make that work? I don't know the answer to that. Whereas I know I have Dinwiddie, I know I have LeVert, I know I have Jared Allen, an athletic center, and I'm not trading away a whole host of picks. And if I re-sign Joe Harris, the Nets absolutely are title contenders. Right away, assuming they're healthy and assuming Durant is back to being Durant, they are absolutely title contenders right away. You can bring Harden in, and to me, the chances of it absolutely imploding are stronger, given the personalities involved, than having an appropriate big three. So here's where we are. Let's get the calls in now, whatever you want, 800-919-3776. Whether it's Cano, whether it's the Giants, or most specifically the draft, as we get ready in just a little bit, we will bring you the coverage on ESPN Radio, but then we're coming right back as soon as the Knicks pick for instant reaction to whatever they're doing. So this is the place to keep it. Right now, let's hit the phones real quick. Let's get Spike in Jersey in on the Knicks draft. Good evening, Spike. What's up, brother? How are you?
Good evening, my friend. What an exciting night. Feel bad for Klay Thompson, though.
That's awful. I hope that it's not a real serious injury, obviously. And they're going to have him undergoing more tests tomorrow. But that could affect a lot with how this draft is playing.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. But this will be interesting with you tonight. But I don't want to go through this. I'm an optimistic guy. You know that. I don't want to hear this. You know, they traded up and they pick from Slovenia, 7'4" Vladimir runs slow as Krapich. Yeah. You know, and you're stuck with a Darko guy.
I don't think Milicic is eligible to be drafted.
Like? What player does he remind you of? I said to Brian, he didn't know who it is. George Murison, heavy shoes on. And then they say, what's his biggest asset when he played in Slovenia? He bench-pressed the entire Finnish team. You know, I'm so used to disappointment, I got to try and make fun out of this, because I'm hoping that Leon and Wes and the whole entourage there, wherever these guys are, and all the money they spent on these guys, they figure something out right. Because this year's been the year to really really score, because we need something good this year, my friend.
Yeah, listen, and Spike, look, I'm optimistic about the Knicks tonight. I truly am, and thanks for the call. I think they're going to be okay. I think I would love, absolutely love to see Obi Toppin. I saw him play a good amount at Dayton, and the guy's a special talent. I mean, he's 6'9", he's long, he's a scorer. He can do a lot of different things offensively. I mean, I really, honestly think it would be awesome if he was somebody they were able to get here. Because he's somebody that fits a lot of different, I don't want to say fits, you know, he checks some boxes. He really does. He's going to rebound for you. He's going to score for you. He could even shoot from the outside a little bit for you. You know, most of it's going to come inside, but he took 80 threes this past year. That's not a lot for college basketball. That's two or three a game, but it was up his shot attempts from three considerably from the year before when he only took like 20 of them. So he's obviously improving at it, and he's not 17 or 18. He's 22. And I like the fact that he is a little bit older. I think that could actually work well, too. You know, he's a little more developed, a little more refined. It's not going to be completely about letting him go out there and grow and grow and grow. I think he has an opportunity to grow into a really good player. Jerry, go. What do you got, buddy?
Hey,
Jerome.
What's up, Irvin? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, man, I first want to say Robinson Cano is an idiot.
Yes, he is.
I'm just saying, like, you know, you got to remember that when you get these big-time contracts as an MLB hitter and you know, at the beginning of your contract, you rack up all these home runs and all these hits and all these RBIs, like, hey, there's a downside that's coming to them, and that everybody, it seems like when they get to that point, where they're like, hey, you know, I'm starting to hit the downside of my career. They always run the PEDs, and I'm tired of that. Like, you got to be
well. Maybe we could just look at it this way. Maybe the testing's a lot better now than it used to be. How about that?
That's true too. But I mean, like, these guys are idiots too, because it's like, you know, this is coming. You know, you want to do this, and it's just like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do this, thinking I'm not going to get caught, and then I get caught, and it's just like, whatever. So he's an idiot. My last question to you is, and I'll let you go and see what you say about this, is regardless of whether or not I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, I'm also a Yankees fan, but I just wanted to point that out about Cano. But regardless of whether or not the Brooklyn Nets get Harden or not, the Nets tonight have the 19th pick and they have the 55th pick. So we'll take Harden off the table. If you're Sean Marks, what are you doing with picks 19 and 55 tonight?
Well, I think, first of all, if you're not making the trade, I think with 19, you're probably looking at trying to get a little more shooting help. That's what I would look for. And I would also look, I always look for defense when I'm talking about that kind of a position, especially where the Nets are right now. Now, I think Joe Harris is going to stay, but I don't think looking for more shooting help would be the worst thing in the world. But I also...
What about a four? Is there any good fours you see, the fours coming out in this draft out of college or maybe from the EuroLeagues or anything like that that you like?
I can't sit here and tell you I know anything about the EuroLeagues right now. You know,
understandable.
Yeah, I don't... Not even remotely am I going to try to hide that one. but I'd say this. You know,
because I'm just thinking like I look at what the Lakers did, and it's Anthony Davis and LeBron James. That's basically a 3-4 and then a 4-5 that basically won the NBA title with what's his face that came out of the Boston Celtics. That was a point guard. So I'm looking at it like, I hate to say it, but big men right now win championships in the NBA. And I could be wrong about that, but that's how I feel about it. Like,
Yes and no. I mean, they have to be athletic big men. That's the correct. Biggest thing. And that's why, and thanks for the call, that's why if I'm the Knicks, I'm not trading Mitchell Robinson. I mean, I have taken the time to develop a guy like this. I'm not going to do that. How about Z out on Long Island? Z, what's going on? 98.7 ESPN, what do you got, bud?
What's up, Colin?
Hey.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to talk about the NBA draft, and then I have something on James Harden I wanted to bring up.
Go.
But with the NBA draft, Obi Toppin, he doesn't do it for me.
Why not?
He just reminds me too much. He just reminds me too much of, what's the name? Spin Cycle. Was it Randall? What's the power forward we got? Damn, I can't say his name right now.
Julius Randle with the Knicks?
Yeah, Julius Randle. He just reminds
me. No, Obi Toppin's not Julius Randle. No, no, no.
They're both offensive-minded players that don't play defense.
Obi Toppin was National Player of the Year and can do a lot of different things for you. He's not Julius Randle. I think he's better than that. I think his ceiling is much better than Julius Randle's is. Anyway.
We'll see. About the James Harden thing, Adam Silver cannot let that happen. It's going to ruin the East, going to ruin the NBA. He needs to Chris Paul that trade.
Why?
Because how are you going to put Harden on the Nets? What's the point of watching basketball? You know they're going to win. He needs to Chris Paul that trade.
Oh, I don't think so. No, I totally disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. I think that it's good for the league to have Harden in New York and have that all kind of come together as a massive drama, because that'll be a reality show. I mean, honestly, they should start, you know, storyboarding that right now, and thanks for the call. You know, because if you're going to have Harden with Durant and Kyrie Irving, that's no lock to win a championship. I think the what the Nets have right now is a better scenario to win an NBA championship, frankly. How about Steve in Montville next? Steve, you're up 98.7 ESPN. Stevie, go.
Good evening, Carling. Putting aside our Beat the Fat Man MASH edition, I would like to say about Cano that I think the money that they're saving on him, they should put into center field and pitching rather than to go after DJ LeMahieu.
I heard Michael talk about, look, if LeMahieu wants 5 years, first of all, of course he's going to ask for 5 years. That's where you start. You know, I don't know that he's going to get it, but I also think that if LeMahieu is wanting 4 years and the Yankees don't want to do that and the Mets would, I would absolutely do it. I have no qualms about giving LeMahieu 4 years and thinking he's still going to be a very productive player at the end of it.
And eventually we will do Beat the Fat Man MASH edition?
Yeah. Sit tight, okay? There's a lot going on. I just got back into position here. We just started doing the show more regularly, and we, you know, we haven't forgotten about you.
Okay,
we've had some personnel shifts, you know, with some of our folks who have, you know, unfortunately left us recently in a good way, have gotten other jobs. So we're getting some new people in. Brian Munguia, we're going to teach them a little bit about Beat the Fat Man.
I can totally understand that. Don't want to be
so forgotten. Pardon me if your MASH edition is going to have to sit tight, Steve.
Okay.
Right.
Fair enough.
Goodbye.
Thank you, sir.
All right. James in New Jersey. Next, 98.7 ESPN. And James, go. What do you got for me?
Hey, Chris. I just want to mention how you guys are calling Robinson Cano an idiot. He might be an idiot, but he's my idiot, because that's the greatest thing that could have ever happened for the Mets, I believe.
Why is it the greatest thing that could have ever happened? Now, you get the $24 million this year, but you're still on the hook after this year.
That's okay, though, because we get the $24 million. We open up the books a little. Jeff McNeil could play second base like he should. He's not good in the outfield. We all know that.
But honestly, it's probably going to be – I don't think he was going to be playing second base anyway, because I think there's going to be universal DH this coming year. And he would have been the DH.
And if it doesn't come this year, fingers crossed, it'll come the next year, when then you could slot Cano in perfectly. You see, it just works beautifully in my mind. And you know what? With that cash space, it's $24 million. You could sign a couple cheap bullpen relievers, which we need. We're in desperate need of that. You know, it just it was music
hey,
to my ears when I read that.
I am not going to sit here and tell you that it's the worst thing in the world that this happened.
That's all.
It's not.
I didn't say that, Chris. I'm glad to hear you agree with me, brother. You have
it's
a great
not.
Night.
It's not. And listen, you know, for a guy that got a ridiculous contract. Think about how amazingly difficult it is to really screw it up to the point where 24, he's handed back $36 million of that contract just of his own doing, of his own stupidity, by not getting paid for 80 games the first time around and now missing an entire season. I mean, that is the definition of moron, okay? I don't like calling people names. You're a moron if you get caught twice doing this. It had been rumored that the Knicks wanted to trade up into the top five to make sure they got Obi Toppin, and as it turns out, they don't have to. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, during the NBA draft. With you up until 10 o'clock, we are going to bring you in to when the next pick is made at 23 or sooner or later, whatever. We'll also jump in on the Nets as well. Larry is going to have you covered from 10 o'clock on, but right now this is about you. Let's talk about Obi Toppin for a minute before we get to your calls. Here's what you absolutely love about a guy like this. He's 22 years old, which I know is, in some circles, a knock on him. I like the fact that he's a little bit more mature. And if you look at this guy's career, he went from graduating high school and not having a single Division I offer to prep school to the A-10. And after his freshman year at the A-10, he wins Rookie of the Year, and then he comes out and wins A-10 Player of the Year and National Player of the Year. A guy that progressively got better. He's 6'9". He runs the floor exceptionally well. Averaged 20 a game this past season. 8 rebounds. Shot more from three. Is he a three-point specialist? No. Is he somebody that can shoot the three? He is. And here's how you know he got more confident in it. In his first year, he only shot 20 threes the entire season. In his second year, he shot 80. And shot 39% from three. You like his ability to get up and down the floor. And I know what the knocks are here defensively about whether or not he can defend in the pick and roll. Here's what I'll say about that. If you were ever going to have a coach who is going to help a player make up for whatever physical liability he might have defensively by being smarter defensively, it's Tom Thibodeau. They have the ideal coach to make up for that. Now, all right, lateral quickness may be an issue. They will get him into a very good place in terms of understanding the game defensively to help make up for that. Okay, he may not be the greatest defender in the world. If he's not killing you and he can be the offensive player that we think he's capable of being, this is a phenomenal night for the Knicks. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Obi Toppin is the next LeBron James, okay? Not by any stretch. But what I will tell you is that this is a best-case scenario that the Knicks had, that they wouldn't have to give up anything to move up into the top five to get the guy, and they get him at 8, and now they still have the ability to maybe pick a point guard at 23. And I know everybody's screaming and yelling about wanting a point guard. It doesn't mean you're not going to get one. 800-919-3776. Calls, let's go. Sean in Maryland starts us off tonight after the Knicks pick. Sean, what do you think, brother?
I agree with you 100%. I am so looking forward to this. I am so glad we didn't have to give up anything to move up in the draft. I was expecting Chicago. Thank you, Chicago, and thank you, Cleveland.
Yep,
because
exactly.
I was not expecting them to make those picks that they made.
Once Cleveland went where they went, it started to be, well, really what Chicago did, but once Cleveland went where they went, you knew you were in a good position to potentially get them.
Exactly. With Halliburton on the board and Toppin there, I was like, come on, take Toppin. The Knicks did it. I am so looking forward to this season.
I am looking forward to seeing this guy play.
Yep.
And I'm excited to see this guy play. And I know people would say, well, you have bigs. No, this is a big who could score at 6'9". He's not Mitchell Robinson, who's going to get up and down the floor. And by the way, is going to handle a lot of the defense as well. So let's not get nuts about that. And if Barrett can develop and they pick a point guard here by 23, boy, this could be a night that would change the Knicks' fortunes for the next few years. I love what they have done here.
We haven't had a draft night like the possibility of a draft night like this in a very long time. So
love the call, Sean. Love it. Love hearing from you. Tremendous stuff. Let's go. Chris in Wontaw next, 98.7 ESPN. Chris, go.
Chris Carlin, I appreciate all your points, but, you know, I don't try to tell you I know baseball, so I don't want you to try to tell me you know more about basketball. Obi Toppin, if you legitimately watch this guy's game, he's a 6'9 small ball center. And you know what? Yeah, he might do some things well, but he's not going to fit next to Mitch because his best game is in the post. How is that going to space the floor for Mitch? And like you said,
he gets up and down the floor. That's where his best game is.
But it doesn't help if you don't have floor space and you don't have shooters. I'm sorry, there's no shooters on our team. And Obi's not.
Oh, listen, I don't disagree with that. You need help shooting the basketball. And by the way, it might have been nice if we could see Kevin Knox actually develop into a shooter this year.
I'm not denying that. But the thing is, you know what RJ needs as well? He needs to not be dominating the ball, and we don't need Julius Randle dominating the ball. And they're both still on the roster. And the best player available in this draft to dominate the ball was Tyler Herburn. And before you say we didn't give anything up to get Obi, we had 3 picks. We traded 2 of them away for 1 so we could potentially move up for with the Cavs. Just because I didn't go through, we already traded for this guy.
Well, they had their choice. Obviously, they felt a lot better. They felt a lot better about Toppin than they did about Halliburton. And it's not a knock on Halliburton.
Okay,
it's not.
And as a Jets fan, I've reached for the best player available countless times when Nagler needs an edge rusher, and we draft D-tackle over D-tackle over D-tackle. Our point guards can't shoot. We need a point guard that can shoot and run an offense. Tyrese does that. If you go look at Obi's threes, by the way, it's like Zion hitting threes in college. They don't want him dominating the post, so they gave it to him.
They gave it to him to the point where they let him take 4 times as many as they did as he did last year.
Carlin, did you watch his highlights? Would you rather get bodied in the post 20 times a night or let him take 5 of those threes? It's an easy choice.
He can pick and roll and pick and pop. Now, listen, Chris, we can choose to disagree here. I'm not telling you the Knicks don't need a point guard. Of course they do. I'm not telling you that R.J. Barrett doesn't have to get better and actually be able to shoot. Of course he does. I'm not really counting, and I don't want to give up on Kevin Knox yet, okay? But if we're going to compare that, I mean, think about that. Knox at this position a couple of years ago versus getting Toppin now, this is infinitely better. Omar in Queens next, 98.7 ESPN. Omar, what do you think?
First off, I love this pick right here. This is one of the best picks the Knicks had in a long, long time. And, you know, I look at him, I think of Blake Griffin. You know, he finishes just as well. Can shoot it better shooter coming out of college. And to me, if I'm the Knicks fan with this pickup with Obi Toppin, I mean, just to get some excitement back in the Garden, when did you want to get Russell Westbrook now to add him on with Obi Toppin? I mean, I think that would be exciting in the Garden. Thank you, man.
No problem. I think Toppin, as a native New Yorker and a guy from Brooklyn and somebody that you can see where he has improved year after year after year, and it is tangible evidence of his improvement. I mean, for you to go from being somebody that didn't get one Division I offer to being a National Player of the Year and the 8th overall pick, you've done some things right. And physically, there may be some things that work against him defensively. I am not worried about this guy's offense in the least. In the least. It's not just about the post. It's about getting up and down the floor. Yes, the Knicks need a point guard. None of us are disagreeing on that. This guy is better than any point guard that was on the floor here or on the board here tonight. I'll tell you, if it could ever happen, I got the guy at 23. Calls are loaded. People are happy, some not as much. Let's go. Richard in Manhattan. Richard. double him up.
Chris, I'm ecstatic, just like you are. But in honor
now of I Alex, question what I'm thinking.
Chris, let me ask you this. Let's honor Alex Trebek tonight. And
what?
Here's the answer. You're going to give me the question. Mother's Day, 1985.
Holy crap, Richard. Just get to the happiness about this, okay?
When was the last time the New York Knicks selected the NCAA college player of the year?
Okay, he's not Patrick Ewing. Let's not do that.
That was the last time they selected him.
You're going to ruin this.
Well, I'm not ruining it. I thought they couldn't even get him at four. I thought he was top three. So it turned out great that they got the eighth pick. Hey, Chris, just as an aside, when was the last time 10 picks went by the board without one coming from Kentucky, Duke, or North Carolina? That's kind of strange.
All right, Richard, thanks.
Don't
ruin it. Don't ruin it. That's Buzz Killington right there. Richard, I love you. Come on! 1985, you're going back to. Let's live in the now. Oh, my God. I love you to death. You're killing me. He's not Patrick Ewing. Oh, Daniel and Queens, cleanse my palate of that nightmare, Daniel. Go.
You know, I'm sorry, Mr. Carlin. I'm sorry. That was funny as hell. I'm sorry. But anyway, if you haven't noticed, Wiseman didn't play. LaMelo Ball was out of town, was out of the country playing. Nobody's seen these people play. From what I noticed from the couple of weeks that we watched college basketball, I seen this kid from Dayton. I didn't even know what his name was till today, but I noticed that the kid from Dayton had talent. I'm happy. I can't complain. This is like the first Knicks draft in like 10 years that I'm not mad about.
Yeah, exactly. You're not just sitting there like, I mean, last year it was more ruined by the fact that they didn't get the number one overall pick. And then, before that, it's Knox, and you're like, okay. There's a lot of – there's none of the angst tonight for me in watching them get Obi Toppin, because I think he was the best player available for them. And I think he's a good player, and I think he will fit what they want to do. And I think Thibodeau's going to make him better on the defensive end.
Mr. Carlin, speaking of Thibodeau, you know how the only knock on this player was that he doesn't play good defense? Do you think Tom Thibodeau is going to have that?
No. No. Even if can we agree on this? Even if he is lacking in his lateral movement, if he's a little bit slower, isn't Thibodeau going to make him a smarter defensive player? Isn't Thibodeau going to make him a better defensive player? Isn't Thibodeau going to bring the best out of him defensively?
Absolutely. Thibodeau is going to have him correct, and that's why I'm happy. This kid is talented. And I'm happy right now. As a longtime Knicks fan, I've watched Patrick Ewing get drafted. I'm 42. So I've been a Knicks fan all my life. I am so happy about this pick. It's been the first one in forever. Mr. Carlin, you have a good night.
You too. And you should be happy. You should be happy. This is a good thing for them. But what I would tell you is this. If you are still concerned about not getting a point guard, isn't there still the possibility, as we sit at the 13th pick, and I don't expect him to fall 10 picks, but if the Knicks tonight actually were able to get Cole Anthony at 23, holy crap, what a night. And I know what everybody's going to say. Why did he slide? He was supposed to be number one overall pick next year. No. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about where he was supposed to be picked and all that. Remember a couple of things. Number one, meniscus, okay? He had a torn meniscus. He missed time this past season. Came back to play the last 11 games. His shooting numbers were not great. He wasn't the best in terms of shot selection. But he is a great athlete getting up and down the floor. And this is somebody that if you could see what he did in a couple of his select games, you know what he's capable of doing. And you know that his father is going to help get him ready for playing in New York too, because he knows what that's about. I'll tell you what, Cole Anthony at 23, we're 10 picks away. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but I do not hate that. I do not hate that at all. Ben in Bell Harbor, are you a happy man tonight, Ben?
I'm not a happy man tonight.
Why not?
You know, it's the Knicks, as usual, going for the best available player, not going for what they actually need. You know, he could be a good player all that, but he's not what he needs. They need a point guard right now.
Well, they need somebody who could score and an offensive player up and down the floor, and that's what this guy is. I know they need a point guard as well. I am not denying that a point guard is exceptionally important.
If you're telling me that they're going for offense right now, then I should have said you would have traded that pick for Will Westbrook next going for offense. The draft is to help you what you need. Free agency is to help what you want.
I don't necessarily buy that. We've seen other teams do some questionable things. This is not like the Sixers taking centers 3 years in a row with top three picks. That's not what this is, okay? This is not like the Knicks had an overwhelming abundance of great offensive players who are 6'9 and can get up and down the floor and really do a ton. No, this is somebody that is a little bit older, who's a hard worker, who has had to earn it along the way, and is going to continue to have that mentality. That's what I love about this in particular. I really do. 800-919-3776. Next, we hit Ray in Pine Bush. Ray, what's going on?
Hey, good evening. It's kind of like a bittersweet thing. I like the kid. I like what he can bring, but we need somebody to get him the ball. We need somebody to run in transition and make those smart decisions to make this kid successful. We need a point guard. We've needed a point guard for years. This is a point guard league. They don't grow on trees. There's nobody else out there. And, Chris, I love you, but you sound just like a Knicks fan. What if this guy falls to 23? What if we get LeBron James? What if we get Zion Williamson? Like, we need to establish what we need to get. We need somebody to run the floor, to run the point. They can't give him this. Nobody on that team right now could put this guy in the best position.
Let me ask you this question.
That's the part that worries me.
Let me ask you this question. If they get Cole Anthony tonight, did they do their job?
I don't know much about the kid. I read the reports. He's a nice kid, highly touted out of high school. But, again, the injury scares me. And it was
meniscus. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad at all. Kira Lewis goes to the Pelicans here. So, yet again, we slide on and continue to hope. Anyway, look, my point is this. You slide on and continue to hope that, you know, you get the opportunity to get Anthony as a point guard later. But Kira Lewis at Alabama is a good point guard, good player, first-team All-SEC. He goes to New Orleans. But I'm still targeting Anthony there as a high-end guy. Are you going to be just absolutely crushed if you don't end up with a point guard tonight?
No, I will not. But my question to you is this. If they don't draft a point guard in the draft, who do you go after next? Who's going to run this team? And who's going to be the starting point guard next year? Please don't tell me Alfred Payton.
No, I can't. I can't say that would be a good thing. I can't.
Now, would it be a success if we don't get a point guard and this kid, we wind up wasting this kid the same way the Jets did Darnold, the same way we've done all these other years and all these other guys? That's what scares me.
All right, we got to stop comparing the Knicks to the Jets here. I know that's the natural inclination of suckery, but we have to stop that. That's the second call that we've had to do that tonight. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Ray. We cannot put the Knicks and the Jets in the same column of poor drafting. I'm not saying that the Knicks have been infinitely better at it. I'm saying that there are infinitely more ways that the Jets have screwed up good players and that they've screwed up in terms of selections they've made. The Knicks have made some bad selections, but I don't think this was one of them. I am very high on what they just did tonight. Very high on Obi Toppin. Eli Newark next. Eli, are you happy with the pick at 8?
Well, hey, brother, how you doing? First things first, hope all's well with your family and your loved ones, right?
You too, first, brother.
And I got to tell you this, too. New York Football Giants got me happy, and now the New York Knicks got me happy. Keep up the good work, and I hope you and your family have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Outstanding. Thank you, Eli. I don't know. I understand Knicks fans wanting a point guard in the worst way. We all understand they need him. We all understand they need him. I'm so sick of Frank Ntilikina, it's not even funny. Honestly. I wouldn't drive him to the airport because I'm lazy. I would get him the Uber. I would set that up with my phone and go pick him up and go and, you know, maybe he'll go play in France or something. I don't want to see him anymore. But what I would say is this. You got a tremendous talent on the offensive end tonight. This sentence has not been said more than three or four times in the last 10 years. And I don't think I'm overstating that. Knicks had a really good night tonight so far. Really good. Roe in Deakin, next. Roe, what's going on? You're next, 98.7 ESPN.
Great, how you doing?
I'm good, you?
Great pick for the Knicks. And not only that, he got brothers that'll come out next year. They should get him, too. These guys are great. He came to my gym. This guy is great. The Knicks are going to be happy. The fans are going to be happy when they see this guy play. He's going to help that team out a great deal. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thank you for checking in. Well, it's not going to be Cole Anthony. Woj is saying in his very Wojerian language, so as not to upset anyone for breaking the news on the picks, that Orlando is targeting Cole Anthony at number 15. Well, that is unfortunate, but I'm still thrilled about the Knicks' ability to get Toppin tonight without having to give up the 23rd pick. You are not in a position right now to give up talent. You are in a position right now to collect talent. And that's what they are doing. And I'll tell you what, it's a great thing to see. It's a great thing to see. You may not love it right now, but I bet you by the end of his rookie season, you will say, Carlin, big fella, I'll follow you into the desert because you know where you're going. You were right on this one. I've been wrong before. This ain't the one. Daniel in Westchester is next on 98.7 ESPN. Daniel, what do you think about the pick?
You know what? Listen, I love the pick. I love his athleticism. I love where you're coming from. I'm a lifetime Knicks fan. And there hasn't been much hope with us. I mean, we had Kristaps and all that, all this noise. And you know what? I'm ecstatic tonight, to be honest. I'm really happy with this pick. And I think he's going to do great things in the NBA. And I'm very hopeful. And I wish that more pieces of the puzzle come together to make him a star.
I hope so, too. And there is a need at point guard. There is no question about that. But I think that we have to understand that this was a player who is going to fit what they want to do exceptionally well. And, you know, people talk about need an awful lot, and the draft is where you go and you get what you need. Well, the Knicks need talent. They need it everywhere. It's not like they just went and picked R.J. Barrett's doppelganger tonight. That's not what happened. They didn't go pick another Mitchell Robinson. No, they got a guy who gets up and down the floor and can score and can shoot it as well. Merv in Forest Hills, next, 98.7 ESPN. Merv.
Carlin, what's going on, man? It's a beautiful night in New York. Just want to chime in. I got to let you know. One thing everybody's failing to mention is he's a New Yorker. He's got skin in the game. The culture is changing. It's a great night, and the fact that it's not the old New York Knicks. They got something under their sleeve, Carlin. Westbrook is coming. It's a solid night. Everybody needs to be positive. He's a solid player, and he's a New Yorker. He's going to get up and down the court. couple alley-oops, everyone's going to fall in love. That's all, buddy.
I appreciate the call. Look, if and I'm still about bringing Westbrook here. I have no problem with that whatsoever, okay? I still believe that that would add real excitement to the Knicks. I understand fans not wanting to bring him here, but I think you have to think in the bigger terms right now. The Knicks are in a financial position to be able to bring someone here like that. So I think if you're going to think about doing something like that, you have to understand that he is coming here, that you're going to have to handle him. I don't want to say keep him happy, but show him right away this is going to be a good place to be. That the culture around the building, around the team, is changing. You're just talking about that, right? You're just talking about culture. The Knicks have had a bad, not culture, but a bad public perception among players in the league. What you need if you bring in somebody like Westbrook is to keep him happy so he's spreading the word that it's a good place to be. And hopefully some of these younger players can learn a lot from him. He can help develop them. And next thing you know, you have the cap room to bring in another star to play with an exceptionally talented young team. If you can develop R.J. Barrett, if you can continue to develop Mitchell Robinson, who already has developed quite a bit, and if you can develop Obi Toppin, and I think Toppin is gonna really do well on that on his own because this guy is a natural worker. Look at where he was and everything he had to do in his life to get to this point. There's a lot of things to feel good about there from an attitude mentality standpoint. Tow Truck Mike in Bronxville next, 98.7 ESPN. Michael, what's cooking?
I just want to say I love your show and I'm ecstatic about our draft pick. And I'm looking forward to the future with the Knicks. Go Knicks.
Think about this, Mike. Think about the sentence you just said. I'm looking forward to the future with the Knicks.
Yes.
When was the last time you said that?
In 85.
All right, well, maybe not that bad, but I get it.
I'm sorry.
This is not a Patrick Ewing night, but I get what you're saying, and thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. It's not exactly that, but I know what you're saying. It feels like it's 1985, put it that way. It feels like this has not come together in so long that it very easily could be 35 years ago. It hasn't been that bad, but it's been bad. You really haven't felt great about them in a really long time. Not since they won, 54 games with Melo the one season. Other than that, you haven't felt good about it in a really long time. Ivan in West New York. Ivan is next, 98.7 ESPN. What do you got, bud?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me on the call. I'm actually very excited with this pick. I think for the first time in many years, we're going in the right direction. I know we need a point guard. We do need a point guard, but I think getting Obi is a sign that Julius Randle is out the door. And we can send him off to, you know, for Westbrook. I think trying to bring in Westbrook is what we need. We need someone just like him who's a bulldog in New York. That's that New York mentality. That's the New York game. Brings me back to the 90s of how New York was pretty much that me growing up watching the Knicks, that's exactly what it was. It was nose hard guys. I mean, I wanted to call Anthony, but he just got picked up at 23. He got picked up at 15. I wanted him at 23, but hey, the pick with Obi, I think we did the right thing. Moving forward, we got to look towards the future, and it's looking good.
Are the Knicks an infinitely better, or not infinitely, are the Knicks a much better team right now than they were an hour ago? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's what matters. Thanks for the call. That's what matters. The Knicks are a much better team than they were an hour ago. And if you saw the young man get interviewed as amazingly emotional as he was about getting drafted, period, and everything he's gone through to get to this point, you understand that this is a guy that's going to give you everything he's got. Now, a couple of things to update you on. According to Woj, looks like Detroit is going to take Isaiah Stewart with the number 16 pick. And the number 17 pick, Minnesota, is getting Ricky Rubio, the 25th and 28th picks, for a package that includes the 17th pick. So there you go. They are trading that 17th pick to Oklahoma City. Rubio was just traded the other day in the other big deal. 800-919-3776. More of your reaction to Obi Toppin, the newest Nick. And if we have it before the top of the hour, we'll have the Nets pick. And, of course, Larry will have it. If we don't, he'll have the Knicks pick at 23 as well. Wojbomb-ish. Woj firecracker. The Clippers are trading Landry Shamet to the Nets for the number 19 pick. Clippers trading Landry Shamet to the Nets for the number 19 pick. Landry Shamet, of course, the point guard from the Clippers. Played with the Sixers before that. You know, listen, they must not have loved R.J. Hampton or any of the other point guards that are available if you're good with taking Shamet. But that's fine. I mean, he's a guy that I'm sure can, you know, help them in the shorter term as opposed to, you know, if you were going to draft an R.J. Hampton type, it would take a lot longer, right? I mean, he's a developmental guy. And actually, when we talk about a point guard, like, that's the next guy I would look at. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have seen him play at all. I mean, he was playing in Australia this past year with LaMelo Ball. He played like 15 games down there. He's not played any high-level basketball, but instincts to shoot, everything that you read about him makes you think that he could be a very good scoring guard in the league, scoring point guard in the league. Problem is, he's a guy that it's going to take a while. He's a guy that, you know, is going to be on that Knicks timeline that we talked about where it's not going to be about winning tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye on that situation. But R.J. Hampton, to me, at this point, would be a great selection if they can make that happen. Because, again, we know they need a point guard. And if he's somebody that fits what they, you know, fits what they're thinking about with that, with a scorer's mentality, but also able to distribute well, as much as I cannot proclaim to know enough about him at this point, then yeah, I would like to see that happen for the Knicks at 23. So as we said, the Nets, you're going to see them on the board make a pick, but according to Woj, they are trading the 19th pick to the Clippers for Landry Shamet, the point guard. All right, Ivan in West New York, next, 98.7 ESPN. Ivan, how you doing, bud? We already did, Ivan. Okay. Is my doc not? There we go. Okay. Edwin, Tribeca, next, 98.7. Edwin, what's going on, dude?
Hey, how are you, Carlin?
Edwin, are you happy about Obi Toppin?
Yes, I'm happy. I had that in my early predictions this morning. I called the station through the ESPN app earlier. So, yes, I'm happy. I would like Cole Anthony, but I want to talk to you, Carlin, about Trey Jones or R.J. Hampton. I don't know too much about R.J. Hampton, but I know Trey Jones, coming from Mike Krzyzewski's system and his brothers in the NBA, there's no better advice than your brother giving you advice about the NBA and how to train and media coordination and stuff like that. So I'll hang up and listen. I know you got a jam-packed line. I just wanted to know your thoughts. I'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
Yeah, listen, I don't know why he's not rated higher. I mean, he's a guy that was exceptionally productive for Duke last season. You look at how it played out for him. I mean, that's a guy that in the ACC, as a guard, averaged 16-6, along with 4 rebounds. I mean, he, you know, was very, very good. He did not shoot the basketball great down the stretch of the season. So maybe that's something that they're looking at. But, He's still taking a lot of shots. He's still taking threes. He could shoot the three. Let's see. What did he shoot from three? This past year, he shot 42% from the floor. And 36 from three. But he is somebody that's been productive, and it makes you wonder why he hasn't been rated a little bit higher. And he's a bigger guard at 6'3". 800-919-3776. We will continue on the phones with Khalil in Canarsie. Khalil, what's going on?
Hey, man. Love your show, man. First time caller, but I listen to you every day, man. Listen, you are exactly correct. But I wanted to ask you this. I agree with all your assessments, you know. And this is a good thing for the city. It's going to be vibrant. You know what I'm saying? And these two players that are coming, man, is just phenomenal, you know? This is what this city needs right now.
Listen, you need something to feel good about. You need something to be excited about. You need something that is going to make you feel like they're headed in the right direction for the first time in a long time. Like, when you think about what's happened in the last few years, and it's not a knock on Kevin Knox, even though he hasn't been good. Okay.
Right.
He hasn't been good. But when the Knicks picked him, let's be fair. When the Knicks picked Kevin Knox at, the eighth pick, we all kind of like, okay, I guess we'll see. And then last year was
he was kind of doing his thing in the beginning, but then he kind of faded off, you know.
Well, he had a terrible second year. He regressed in year two. That was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But secondly, last year was kind of a situation where R.J. Barrett couldn't win anyway because the Knicks didn't get the number one pick, and everybody wanted Zion, and everybody wanted that pick. Or then, you know, as you watch what Ja Morant turned into, you have to sit there and think, crap, we could have had him at number two. What am I missing here? You know, so for R.J., it just was never going to – he was never going to get the benefit of the doubt. He wasn't Ja Morant, and he wasn't Zion Williamson.
Yeah. He didn't have that publicity that they had. But my last comment is going to be, do you think now that New York sports is going to be in a turnaround now and going to be on an upswing?
Dear God, I hope so. I mean, haven't we been in such a morass, just a malaise for the last several years where it's been so painful that you just want to see some real development.
DJ,
just improvement and hope that's actually based in some kind of fact, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, love your show, man. Keep doing what you do.
Hey, Khalil, thanks for checking in, brother. Got a couple of more minutes before the top of the hour. The Nets trade is apparently a three-way trade that includes the Pistons. Luke Kennard going to the Clippers. Number 19th pick going to the Pistons, and Landry Shamet to the Nets. So the Pistons end up with three picks in the top 20. And as Adam Silver is currently at the podium, we'll tell you who they actually picked for the Pistons at this point. And it was Sadiq Bey from Villanova, the small forward. So that's who the Pistons wanted there. So they got him at number 19. 800-919-3776. I can't tell you how happy I am, and I think you should be, about what transpired so far tonight. The Knicks to end up getting Obi Toppin was a big, big win. They wanted to potentially move up to go get him into the top five, and the reports were earlier that Cleveland wanted more than the 8 and the 23 when the Knicks traded earlier today to move up to the 23rd pick from 28th. That Cleveland wanted more than that, and they were holding out for more than that. And then it really started to come into place for the Knicks when the Bulls took Patrick Williams and then Isaac Okoro to the Clippers or to the Cavs. And then you're thinking, oh, maybe we got a shot here to get him. And he slides down to 8. And this is a guy that was National Player of the Year. I just want to briefly recap what he is if you don't know a lot about him. This is someone that just a couple of years ago from Brooklyn did not get one Division I offer out of high school. Went and played a prep season. Got the offer from Dayton. Goes to Dayton. As a freshman, he's A-10 Rookie of the Year. And as a sophomore, he's National Player of the Year. He averaged 20-8 last season. He became more comfortable shooting the three, and the fact that, you know, he went from, in his freshman year, shooting just 20 all season to shooting 80 last year. Numbers improved. He can run the pick and roll offensively, and he can run the pick and pop. It doesn't have to be getting to the basket. He can do a lot of different things offensively for you. And he will get up and down the floor, and he is 6'9". There's so much to feel good about. If there's a concern, it's on the defensive end. But why I'm not remotely worried about that is because of who the coach is. If he has physical limitations on the defensive end in his lateral movement, Tom Thibodeau is going to make him a smarter defender. You know, if he can't make up for it physically, he'll make up for it mentally. And this is a guy that has had to grind for everything. The Knicks should be in the business of collecting as much talent as they can right now. Sounds obvious, right? Obvious concept. Has not necessarily been executed that way.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.